Yeah. Okay. Hello and welcome to the call. I'd appreciate it if everyone who is on the call will kindly hit the star 6 buttons on your phone so we can mute all background noises. And that's everyone except...
You are now muted.
At the end, we'll take a few questions, and at that time, I'll ask those of you who have questions to please push the star 6 buttons again so we can hear you. The format for the call actually will be a little different today, and what we hope to do is to take questions at different points during the call instead of saving them all to the end, just in case the callers are interested in any one particular area of social media. For those of you who don't know me, I'm Dotsy Bregel, and I'm the founder of the National Association of Baby Boomer Women, which can be located at nabbw.com, and also boomerwomenspeak.com, which are the number one sites on major search engines for baby boomer women. I'm passionate about educating and empowering boomer women and have been doing so since 2002. If you are not a member of the NABBW, the fee to join is typically $75, but for those who are guests of our guests today, we'll be happy to send you an email so you can join for the reduced rate of $50. All you have to do is email me at dots@nabbw.com, and I'll be happy to send you that email with the $25 discount link. All of our teleseminars, audios, and PDFs are free for members of the National Association of Baby Boomer Women, and that's just one of the many benefits. Upon joining, you have approximately 65 teleseminars that you can either listen to or download and or print and read at your convenience. So this call is just one of our free educational opportunities once you're a member of the National Association of Baby Boomer Women. Okay, let's get started. I'd like to introduce our guest today, Phyllis Zimbler Miller. Are you there, Phyllis?
I'm here.
Okay, and Barry Plaskow. Barry, are you there?
Absolutely.
Okay. Phyllis Zimbler Miller has an MBA from the Wharton School and is the co-founder of internet marketing company called Miller Mosaic Power Marketing. And her web address, her URL, is millermosaicpowermarketing.com. And at that site, she blogs about social media marketing. She's also a member of the NABBW, and she wrote the novel Mrs. Lieutenant, which was set in the 1970s during the Vietnam War. Barry Plaskow is a leading viral marketer who is currently launching the Inner Circle program of successbug.com. His web address is successbug.com, and his program that he's launching will help small business owners learn from top mentors the strategies for building a seven-figure business. And we're happy to have him on the call today. You want to tell us where you're Skyping from, Barry?
Absolutely. I'm far away here in Israel, even though you sound very loud and clear and very close.
Actually, your voice is louder and clearer than Phyllis's, so it just really speaks to what a great service Skype is. This is the first time we've had someone from Skype on one of our calls, so that's kind of fun. Okay. I'd first like to ask both of you if you have something that you would like to say prior to the interview. Anything about your website or any offer you might have, or just, you know, what you're excited about with your business right now.
Barry, why don't you start?
As you are a member, why don't you go first?
That's right. I am a baby boomer. Well, one of the things I'm going to say, and Barry would tell you, is that actually Barry and I are going to be working I'm going to be working a little bit in conjunction with his new program. Well, he'll tell you that. I will tell you that, Mrs. Lieutenant, my novel, actually started me on this path of social media marketing, and I was very pleased that last night I was interviewed by John Kramer on his year-long series, People That You Should Know, and the reason I was so honored is that in May of 2008, I took a two-day seminar with John, and I knew nothing. So in that time, I've gone from knowing nothing to being interviewed on his show as an expert. So that was really exciting for me.
And Phyllis,
yeah, go ahead.
Excuse me, I just wanted to ask if you can give us his web address, because I'm familiar with him and his newsletters online.
I think it's bookmarket.com, not bookmark.
Yeah.
I always try bookmarketing first. I think it's bookmarket.com.
And that sounds familiar, and I can look that up while we're sitting here.
Right.
So go ahead.
He's on Twitter as John Kramer, and Kramer is K-R-E-M-E-R. And he does terrific in this year-long, once-a-week seminar. It's really inexpensive, and you can hear all the replays. So I highly – and it's on the front page of his website because we discussed his website last night on the call.
Okay. All right. And it is bookmarket.com. I just verified that. Okay.
And I just wanted to say one thing that I just put up yesterday, a new free report on my site that's getting really good feedback. So I'd just like to give the URL. And it's
sure.
MillerMosaicLLC.com/power, P-O-W-E-R, hyphen O-F, hyphen 3, the power of 3. But it's power of 3. And it's a report that really putting everything together to help people come along the way I had to come along and figure things out for myself. I want to help others not have to do that so hard.
Okay, so that is really helping with everyone's learning curve. And can you repeat that again?
Certainly. It's okay. Miller Mosaic, and Mosaic is AIC, you know, MOSAIC, LLC.com/power, P-O-W-E-R, hyphen, O-F, hyphen the number 3, you know, the number, not written out. And that's it.
Right. Okay. So power hyphen of hyphen the number 3.
And just so you'll know, if you just go to Miller Mosaic Power Marketing, it's also on the sidebar. It's just that this one is the one that comes exactly to the page where it's, you know.
Okay, that's good, too. Okay, so that's MillerMosaicPowerMarketing.com. Okay. All right. How about Barry? Anything, Barry, that you want to tell us about that you're doing that's new and exciting?
Sure. I just want to say, though, in advance, Darcy, I am so inspired by your community. And, you know, during the difficult times that a lot of Americans have been going through these last couple of years, you know, there's one community I've always seen that has always looked to reinvent themselves, to improve themselves, to find new ways to make a difference in the world. And, you know, there's something very special about baby boomers. So I'm really just here to offer some great content. And if I may, maybe I just introduce myself with a very short story. Is that okay?
Sure, absolutely.
So I just want to tell you a short story. There was a young consultant several years ago was down on his luck, literally had no money, was about to lose his house. That consultant decided, basically on his last legs, what he's going to do, he's going to find a world-leading marketer in his particular industry. And
okay.
He found him. He then goes ahead and asks that marketer if he'd agree to do an interview like we're having right now. And unbelievably, the marketer agreed. He then asked the marketer, would he mind telling his audience, his clients, about the interview? And he felt, you know, that'd be a good idea, so he did. On that call, the down-and-out consultant interviewed that individual, and by the end of the call, the phones did not stop to ring. It's simply he got emails and phone calls from people that are on that call that demanded his services. That person at the end of that call earned $20,000 from a single call, and that changed his life. Now, that story is very dear to my heart because that story is all about me. And what I learned that day, Dr. T, is what we're here to talk about here in terms of viral marketing is sometimes the smallest actions can have the most dramatic effects on a small business. So I'm really just here to offer as much great advice and direction and interaction as I possibly can to your wonderful audience.
Okay, well, thank you very much. And am I right in saying that, you know, while we will learn a lot from the call, the people who listen, whether they're on the call now or will listen when the links are sent, you know, in the newsletters and posted on our site, that they can also learn more by visiting both of your sites?
That's exactly true.
Okay,
yeah, and
good.
Yeah, and I have actually, for your audience, complete free access to some of the calls that I've done with SuccessBug. They simply have to go to successbug.com, and they can pick up an incredible amount of material completely for free. And I highly suggest anyone that is inspired by viral marketing, wants to take their business to the next level, certainly it's going to be a good resource for them, and they're going to want to check it out. So that's successbug.com, S-U-C-C-E-S-S-B-U-G.com.
Okay, thank you. All right, so what we've told our audience is that you're going to help us learn what we need to have in order to use viral marketing on the Internet to promote our brand, our book, or our business. So can you tell us what we need?
Absolutely.
Go ahead and start, and then I'll add.
Okay, perfect. So, you know, this is the absolutely most important question, and it's actually a very perceptive question, and let me tell you why. Most people think that viral marketing is something that just happens by chance, and some things go viral, i.e. they spread like a virus, whilst other things don't, and it's all by chance. But the truth is, most marketing campaigns that we see online or offline, whether it's a video or whether it's a campaign like Apple's campaign for an iPod, it's all done by design. And the beauty of it is that anyone can create a viral campaign. And this is it. This is what it comes down to. And imagine we're talking about a virus, a medical virus. A virus is obviously, for something to go viral, you need a virus and you need carriers. Those are the two vital components. So a virus in an online or offline sense on a marketing level means that you have something that is good, that is newsworthy, that is buzzworthy, that people are excited about. And by the way, what's amazing about online and offline marketing is 99.9% of small business owners are just doing the same thing that everyone else is doing. The minute that you try and make a difference, we can discuss a little bit later on, just a few ideas that people can make a difference. When you make a difference and you sound different or you do something different in your niche, in your industry, then you have a message, an idea that can go viral. And once you've got that, there's one second element. You need carriers. And that the carriers obviously are your audience. Now, how do you take a great idea and make it go viral? Well, you need to be very clear and give very simple and clear instructions to the carriers, to the prospective carriers, what they need to do next. So when you have a great idea or an idea that stands out, and then you tell your audience about this idea and what they should do about it, i.e. tell a friend, tell a colleague, tell your spouse, tell your children, then what you have is the makings of a viral campaign. And it really doesn't get more difficult than that. Obviously, there's a lot of tools that we can use in order to pump up the value or the strength of a viral campaign. But in essence, that's what it is, and that's what it takes to make something go viral.
Okay, and I think something that you said that's really important is that we need to pay attention to, because I know many of us are on Facebook and, you know, Twitter and have blogs and websites, et cetera, which you're going to get into a little bit more. What we have to realize is that to really go viral and spread like a virus is that our message needs to be a good message that's worth spreading. And that's a really important point, I think, that you need. So, Phyllis, did you have anything that you wanted to add to that?
A couple of things. First of all, baby boomers are actually the best group for doing this because we all grew up in a time when we were taught to share things. Of course, we did it in a different medium, but that's really the number one thing. That the mindset is that you have to think when you're helping pass a message along that you want to share it with people, and when you want people to share your message, you need to ask for it. People, you know, we think that people would automatically say, I love this product, I love this service, I'm going to share it. They don't. And I know I've seen studies where people have tested how many times something on Twitter is retweeted based on whether someone has put at the end of his or her tweet, please retweet, please RT, or whether a person has not put that. So it isn't bad manners to ask for someone to share your viral message. It's really good manners because if your message is good, if you have valuable information, you want to help as many people as possible, and so therefore your friend or your colleague who likes your message will be doing a favor to his or her own followers by helping spread the message.
Okay. Thanks, Phyllis. And Phyllis, can you speak up just a little? I don't know. Are you on a speakerphone or?
No.
No, you're not. Okay, maybe if you just speak up. I'm having a little bit of a hard time hearing you. And maybe it's because, you know, the Skype messaging is coming through so loud and clear. Okay, let's move on to the aspects that need to be considered when choosing a domain name, either for a website or a blog, because some people who will listen to this call may already have both, and some may have neither, but want one or the other. And my understanding with the latest technology and blog platforms is that a lot of people, instead of building websites or having websites built, are using blog platforms to blog and also to use as a website. So do you want to talk a little bit about that?
Yes, I'll take this first because my company does this as part. We build WordPress websites, which is using WordPress.org, not the WordPress.com that people can get a free hosted blog, such as on Blogger also. It's self-hosted, and it has advanced in the last year or so. There's constantly wonderful additions, so that you use it both as your website and your blog. So you make, it's behind the scenes, you make static pages, stationary pages for website pages that look just like any other website pages, and then you have the blog part also. And it's really wonderful because here's the best news. It's very hard to put it up yourself, which is why we build them for clients, if you're not a techie. But once they're up, you can do everything yourself. That's how powerful it is.
Okay, and that's important because, our websites are huge, and we pay to have them maintained. But I think that if I were going into business now, I could have put all of the same technology on a WordPress platform if I were to begin again. And that is huge because we pay quite a bit to have information added to our site. So, but what do we need to consider when choosing a domain name for the website or the blog?
Gary, do you want to start?
Okay.
Go ahead.
Okay, fine, perfect. I think this is a very important question. And, first of all, there's a few things I want to point out. The first thing that people want to think about is they want something memorable, something that people will remember, and hopefully it will be short enough that they're not going to make mistakes when they're putting in that URL into their web browser. So I spent many, many weeks with successbug.com. I was thinking of calling it many different things. I was thinking of calling it the Viral Marketing Club, which is about 23 letters or something like that. And it just wasn't memorable enough. But when I got to the word successbug, whenever I just mentioned it to people, what I'm doing, and I said, I'm running a site called Successbug, immediately they understood what this is all about. It's about success. It's about catching something. And it just tells the story. So if you can find something that tells your story in a memorable way in the short amount of letters as possible, then you really are off to the races. That's the first thing you want to do. Now, there are other considerations that I don't suggest people really spend too much time worrying about. But one of the biggest considerations that I would consider to be important are your keywords. What are your keywords? In other words, if you are a professional, you are a lawyer in Denver, you want to have those two words, Denver lawyer, in your URL. Because, again, it tells your story. And also, for other reasons, search engine optimization down the road, when you are creating content, and I totally concur and agree with Citus that you want to be working with a WordPress blog as much as possible, because that's going to allow you to write content freely. You're not going to be dependent on any programmer. And by writing content, over time, you're going to appear in the search engines, which is going to drive traffic to your website. So if you just consider those two factors, and there are many more, but those are my two biggest factors. Number one, that it's something that's memorable and easy to remember. That's number one. And number two, that it tells your story. And if you have keywords in your that reflects your business, then you really want to, as much as possible, incorporate them in your URL so that it helps you with the search engines and the driving of traffic.
And, Dad, let me just add one thing. So people who already have a domain name don't end this call going, oh, my God, everything's wrong. You can get additional domain names and redirect. So, for example, Miller Mosaic Power Marketing is an additional URL that we bought after we had set up our site on MillerMosaicLLC.com in order to make it easier when I, tell people about it. And we use domain names to send people to specific pages on our site. So you don't have to worry if your site already has a domain name that doesn't meet these terrific recommendations. And one other thing, try for words that are easy to spell. I had a client who wanted to use the word concierge in his domain name, and I'm a very good speller, and yet I kept making a mistake with the spelling, and I said to him, you know what? If I keep making a mistake, really, you do not want this name, so he came up with a different name. So that's an important consideration also.
Okay, should you consider words, like keywords that are really popular, say, with Twitter or Google? Do you need to take that into consideration?
Okay, that's a great, great question. And I want to keep this simple because you can get carried away with this, and you can find a lot of information online. And to be honest, sometimes it can be very distracting and it can stop people from achieving the true goals. Now, what I advocate strongly when it comes to viral marketing is, you know, search engine optimization, Google, Twitter. I find the greatest ways of driving traffic and making things go viral are bringing on partners and bringing on joint ventures, bringing on different companies or different websites and creating ventures together with them. That is the single fastest and cheapest way to drive any amount of traffic, and it could be exponential. And therefore, for me, the first and most important consideration, as I said, is something as short, crisp, and memorable as possible. There are so many considerations, and you'll speak to different experts, Dr., and you're going to get different responses. And it depends how you're running your business. But when you want to run your business where you may not have the most amount of marketing dollars to play with, you want to grow your business as successfully quickly as possible, then the most important consideration is getting something that people are going to remember, and it's going to be short, and it has your keywords in it. I wouldn't worry too much about the Google and Twitter elements, even though if you do attack it from a different angle, that would become relevant. But what I teach is that is less relevant than the ideas that I'm talking about.
Okay. All right. Now, I have two other things that I'd like us to discuss before I ask if anyone has any questions. You recommend using only a .com domain. Do you want to explain that?
Yes, this is my recommendation, because most of us by default, I just realized that when I sent you something, I forgot to add the .com. Most people just assume it's .com. So if you have the .net or the .biz, you are often sending people to your competition. So you can get the additional ones if you have .com to protect your brand, but if you can't get the .com, and notice that Barry did get that with SuccessBug, even though it's a brand new URL, choose something else. It's really important to have a .com.
Okay. And I totally agree with that. And what is the one element that a website hosting service should offer you? And if you wouldn't mind explaining for some people on the call what a website hosting service is.
I was going to do it only because the first time when I had someone building a website for me that I was paying, and he said, well, you have to find a host server. I had no idea what that meant. I said, I have to find a host server?
Yeah.
So it's actually where the files of the computer live. And, you know, you pay a monthly or a yearly fee, and there are all different kinds of competition. And so we actually, when we build websites, don't give our clients a choice. We give them, we tell them to connect with a certain company that we trust. And why? Because they have the one element, which is 24/7 service. Because sometimes you'll get a reseller who's, you know, not available all the time. You want a company that's a real company, and when you have a problem, you can call 24/7 and say, why did my website disappear from the screen?
Right, because sometimes the site will go down, and you do need to connect with the person who's hosting your site. In addition to 24/7 service, it's also important that the sites be backed up.
Yes.
Because, you know, this is pretty elementary, but what some people need to understand is that information, especially when you have a forum community like I do, is being added to the site all the time, and not just by me or anyone that works with me. It's by anyone who visits the site. And it's important to have that information backed up in case the server does go down. And sometimes that does happen when there are power outages. So that's all very important. All right. Let me see if anybody has a question about what we've spoken about so far. If so, you have to push *6 so we can hear you, and oftentimes people are shy to ask questions. So if no one speaks up right away, yes.
Dottie, may I just interject one quick point before you go to your questions, if that's possible?
Sure.
And this is my personal experience, and, you know, everyone has their own personal experience. What I can tell you is that if you want to sell something on your website, you've got to be careful, because there are hosting companies, and sometimes, I'm not saying sometimes, the biggest hosting company that I know is well known for closing down sites for any particular reason. And there are stories about this of people in my particular market and in marketing that have built sites that are selling products legitimately, and suddenly because of one email that someone complained about that, you know, made very little sense, they closed down the site and it was unusable and it took them 6 months to rebuild it. So this is not a small question. You've really got to choose the right hosting company. So Phyllis has got her particular take, what she likes. I have my particular company that I work with now exclusively, and that's through difficult experience that I've had with a certain company that people might want to be using. So if anyone wants to know, you know, what sort of companies I use, et cetera, again, at SuccessBug, I reveal my Rolodex, and you can go there, and certainly I'll reveal to you. If you want to speak to me or send me an email, I'll let you know where I host my files and my websites, and there's good reason for it.
Okay, thank you. Okay, I haven't heard anyone push any buttons, so I'm thinking there aren't any questions. So I'm going to move forward, and then if someone wants to interrupt with a question within the next couple of seconds, that'll be fine. Okay, this is really important. I know when we created our sites and actually launched our blog, which is actually on one of our websites, we did a ton of research, and one of the things that I really recommend is just looking at your competitors and seeing, you know, what they have on their site so that you can figure out what would work for you. And one of the things that's really important and most important when you have a website is capturing the names and email addresses of the people who visit your site. So do you want to talk about that a little bit?
Well, why don't I talk about that? Because the power of three is an exact example. If people go to that URL or see the sidebar on the homepage, in order to get this report, they have to be willing to give their name. It can be their first name. It can be their initials and their email address. And once they fill that in, then they get a thank you, but they also then at their own email address get a confirmation. And when they click on that link, they will get the free download. So, but there are three actually different points. So one is to give someone a reason, a motivation to do it. Second is, if you have what I just described as a double email opt-in, the person put his or her email address in, but then had to later click that they meant that to put their name in, that's called a double email opt-in, and it gets through spam filters much better. But then the third reason is, of course, if you have someone who's interested enough to do this, they might forget to come back to your site otherwise because there's so much out there. But if every so often you send them an email with an offer or links to free information, et cetera, you're keeping top of mind with that person. So they might not be interested in your products today, but 4 months down the road, when they're looking for that specific item, they'll go, oh, Phyllis or Barry has that, and they will be top of mind.
Okay, and what are some of the examples of a freebie that can be offered to motivate people to leave their name and sign up for your say, newsletter or freebie or get on your email list, et cetera?
If you're a book author, go ahead. I just want to say, if you're a book author.
No, please finish. Here you go.
Definitely have a chapter of your book, if not a free chapter that they don't have to, you know, maybe the first chapter, if you're a fiction author, that they don't have to sign up for, and then when they get hooked, they have to sign up to get the second and third chapter, is one example. Barry?
Yeah, so what I would say, obviously it depends on the particular niche or the market that you're in. So, Phyllis, you just gave one example. I'll tell you a little story of a restaurant. This is a pretty famous story. There's a restaurant that, a Mexican restaurant, that's having a very hard time when it began to rain. No one was coming into their place of business. So they'd have these dark days that just no one would come in. Then they thought of this idea of, well, what if we could capture email addresses of people that generally come into our store, and they would give away a Coke or something, a free drink, in exchange for that email, something as simple as that. And what happened was is that on the day that it started to rain, they had collected so many emails of their present clients. They said that today they're going to offer a free dessert to anyone that comes in if you just usher very quietly to the person that's selling you the food, just usher the special a secret code, but please don't tell anyone this is a secret between us. Well, what happened was, Dotsie, on those days when it rained, it became the most powerful day of business. As simple as that. And that's what can happen when you capture people's email addresses. And so, therefore, it really it depends, though, on your on what you're doing. Your restaurant, you might offer a freebie. You might say, and by the way, you want to get as much information from your client as possible. Imagine if you have a restaurant, and as a and as people leaving your place of business, you ask them, well, can you tell me your birthday? And we all know that on birthdays, the most frequented place when for birthdays is a restaurant. And what happens if you then had their email address and you knew their birthday, and a week in advance you say to them, I'd like to offer you a free meal by, since it's your birthday, because, you know, just out of appreciation for you. Now, think about it. If you got that email, by the way, and that's what everyone's thinking about. People are thinking about that on their birthday, what they're going to do. They get an invitation for a free meal. Now, what happens? How many people go out on their birthday by themselves for a meal? No one. Very few people. So what happens is, by offering that freebie, you then bring the entire family in because you've got one person having a free meal, and you've now got 4, 5, 6, 7, maybe 10 new people in your place of business because you sent that email giving one small gift. So again, it's very much dependent on the area of business that you're in, and that's just a small example in restaurant trade, but what you need to think about is what's motivating for your audience. And you can find what motivates them, something for free, whether it's a free meal or whether it's a free dessert or whether it's some item or even a report like Phyllis mentioned, and you can motivate to give your email, then you literally are setting yourself up to be able to build a business that can go viral, and you literally are in control of your marketing, and that's the beauty of having an email list.
And I'd like to add two little things. It used to be that offering a newsletter, or called an e-zine when it comes to email, was very popular, but nowadays people get so many newsletters already that offering them one could be a reason for them not to sign up. So I wouldn't suggest a newsletter unless you already have a huge following of people who love you. And I just realized I forgot what the other thing was. Oh, but I wanted to make this clear. This is very important. When I talk about a double email opt-in system, that means using a company that not only helps you get your emails through the spam filter, that makes it so easy to send out a broadcast message. And if you do the back end correctly, which there is a learning curve, you can literally do all kinds of things so that you're not sending out one of those mass emails where, you know, there's 4,000 email addresses it shows, or it shows BCC. But you're sending out a really professional email with the person's first name in the dear, hi, or whatever. And so this really is a way to connect and have it automated.
Right. We use Constant Contact for our mail service, and I know there's several others, but that's it's pretty popular and it's very easy to learn. Well, why don't we talk a little bit about a hosted blogging platform compared to a self-hosting blogging software, and why we should care when we're setting something like this up?
Barry, do you want me to take this, since I made
that? Yeah, if you wish. Go on.
When I started blogging, I went to, it takes 5 minutes, to blogger.com, and I got a website for my book, mrslieutenant.blogspot.com. So anytime you see a URL that says .blogspot.com or .wordpress.com, that's a hosted website. There is a way of masking it, but let's just take the basic level. It means that you do not control your own website. It means that WordPress or Blogger will tell you what you can put on your site, what you can't put on your site. And also, to the best of my knowledge, your search engine optimization doesn't do you a great deal of good because really there's no back-end ability to do that. There's a little bit, but not really. If you host your server, your site yourself, which means getting a hosting server account, then you have a website either built by coding or by through WordPress.org software, which you own the website. You can do everything that's legal. In other words, you have to follow the FTC and FCC's rules, but you can do whatever you want with your own site, including backing it up. Is that clear?
It is to me because I've been through it. I've lived through the whole idea of hosting and as opposed to, you know, putting it on their platform. But we can see if anybody has questions.
I'd like to mention something at this point, because we'd like to give some good resources during our teleconferences. And there are a few books that I would like to recommend, because even after we had a website, we added a blog. And so we use WordPress, but we host it. And my virtual assistant, Georgia Richardson, and I both read the book WordPress for Dummies and Blogging for Dummies, and I highly recommend those books. You can learn so much by reading those books and just kind of following exactly what they say. They're excellent resources. And then I know we're not talking about Twitter now, but there's a Twitter book that is a really great book for someone who's considering using Twitter, and that's called The Twitter Book, and it's by Tim O'Reilly and Sarah Milstein. And I don't know if you have any recommendations of books that either of you have used, but now might be a good time to share that.
Well, actually, I've read both Blogging for Dummies and WordPress for Dummies. I haven't read all the way through, but I bought, unfortunately, after I started my blogger.com blog.
Oh, okay.
So I agree with you. They're very valuable, and it's better to send them soon. And people shouldn't despair. You can change them. We're doing it for a client now. Because you put thousands of photos, it's more complicated, but you can change your blog without losing your material to go from hosted to self-hosting. It just is a process. And that Twitter book I'm not familiar with. I'm familiar with another one, but I'd like to, how about share a LinkedIn book that I just read and found very helpful. It's called Rock the World with Your Online Presence, and it's by Mike O'Neill, O'Neill. And it literally
okay, and that's on LinkedIn?
Yes, and it goes step by step. And I thought my LinkedIn profile was really good until I discovered I'd missed a couple of steps.
Okay, good. All right. How about you, Barry? Do you have any recommendations or any, like, newsletters about blogging or websites that you would recommend? Okay.
Yeah, so this is what I recommend. And, again, I believe there are different strokes for different folks. And some people like to read, and then they need to understand the subject before they dive in. My advice to people, based on my experience, where I actually did a lot of reading before I got it started, and it didn't really lead me to anywhere. But once I threw myself in there, made things happen, made mistakes, and then picked myself up, that's when things started to happen for me and my business. So it's a very different approach, but certainly people want to make sure that that they are taking action and not reliant on education, but rather are learning as they are implementing. So that's really my main consideration. And by the way, because of the difficulties that people experience with blogging, and it doesn't need to be difficult, literally, and let me tell you this, you can build a blog in 25 minutes, and I'm not joking, with zero programming knowledge, with zero knowledge of internet marketing or anything related to the net. If you can use a mouse and click, you can build a WordPress blog in 25 minutes. And that, by the way, inside of a Success Bug, for this very reason, we've created a set of very short, simple videos that anyone can look at and can replicate. You simply follow the instructions, and within 25 minutes, 30 minutes if you're slow, you'll have your own WordPress blog set up. And we also give more information about how you can then turn that WordPress blog into a funnel, a marketing funnel, so you can use it with your business according to the ways that you want to build it. So that's just the way that I learn. Reading books, I do read books, but for me, the fastest way to learn is while you're in the action, you're looking at blog posts online if you need a little bit of help, or following through using the video, and I find that to be a time saver and a way that people can implement things very, very quickly and effectively.
Okay, and that information is on your site?
Yeah, absolutely. As people sign up for successbug.com, as they sign up as members, they'll be getting a lot of information, and one of the things they're going to be getting is what I call the website formula, how you can build a website in 25 minutes and save yourself thousands of dollars. Literally, one of the biggest issues, as we mentioned at the very beginning of this conversation, that people are spending lots of money on websites. They don't really get them anywhere. And the beauty of WordPress is that you have a sales machine in potential and a traffic generation machine up your sleeve, and it's so simple to implement, and that's why we create those videos. Absolutely, people can pick it up again at successbug.com.
Okay. Okay, we've talked a little bit about what to consider on your blog when it comes to capturing email addresses for your email list, but what else do you need in order to attract and retain blog readers? What other elements would you recommend?
Well, we're expanding blog to include both websites and blogs, correct? Because some people only have a blog and they don't have a website.
Right, sure.
So I just want, okay. So whatever is the main domain name URL that you send people to, you should be transparent. No more should it be just the company name and the picture, definitely not the picture of the company offices. And, you know, the about page, when you click on it, you get a teeny little bit of information, and then you get the kind of, contact us at info@. Nowadays, especially because of Twitter, Facebook, LinkedIn, et cetera, and blogging, you want to be the person, even if you have a huge company, then maybe you have a picture of the top people. But right up front and center, your photo, your Twitter contact, your email. You don't have to give your phone number, but the email, preferably with your own personal name, like PZ Miller I use rather than something else, although I have Power Marketing also. And you want people to know about you up front. The about page can have a lot more information, but they should know about you right away. Who's the person and what that person or company is offering?
Okay, so you mentioned that. You also have to have a way to capture email addresses, and then you want them to know, you know, who's writing the blog, contact information. Okay, what else?
Barry, you want to go?
Yeah, and this is what it's all about, Dottie. It's really, as I said at the very beginning, there are different ways of doing business. And most effective for me, what I've seen time and time again, is that you need to be very clear to people what you're offering them and what you're doing there. And there are different ways of doing this. Phyllis gave one example. And I want just people to understand one thing. You have a business, and the end goal of your business, presumably, unless you are a philanthropy, your end goal is to make money. That's it. So the question is, how do you take a website and make money from that website? And I mentioned earlier the importance of creating an email list. Now, what you need, a website's got to create for you, is a marketing funnel. You need to bring people into that website. You need to tell them enough information to get them excited about you so that they will give you their email address. And then you need to continue the conversation with them throughout your site, throughout your email broadcast, Darcy, like you do. I mean, what you have is a machine. And the reason why you've got that is you've created an incredible relationship with your audience. You give them a lot of value within your posts and the information that you offer them, such as this call that you're doing right now. And people just they feel a debt of gratitude towards you. And that's what happens. Even though you could be charging for a membership, people, when they feel that you're taking care of them and you have their best interest at heart, they will pay you for that. And they feel very good about paying you for that. So a website at its very core has got to have that marketing funnel. And again, because there is just so much misinformation out there, and there are so many different ideas, and people get lost in the mayhem and in the extensive amount of information that's out there, that's the real motivation. It got me going with SuccessBug to begin with, by the way, because people need to have just simple directives. This is what you need to do. This is how you build the site. This is how your pages should look. This is the sort of information you need to create. These are the strategies you need to use in order to build this website and make it into something that's going to generate a serious amount of money based on the level that you want to try and generate. So if I was to say it in a sentence, your website has to be easy to navigate. It's got to be clear. Your message has to be crystal clear. And what you tell your audience, what you want them to do, has to be direct. If you beat about the bush and you give them too much information, they won't look at you as an expert. They'll look at you as someone that's dysfunctional. You need to be clear and concise and get to the point. People do not have time to waste on fluff and filler. So once you get that marketing funnel in place and you give great value to people, they'll do anything for you. And that is the simple message or the simple teaching that I've learned in the last couple of years that's made a huge difference to me.
Okay. And I would say another thing that needs to be included on that blog are links to your social networking pieces, whether it's Twitter or Facebook or LinkedIn, et cetera, so they can click through and follow you that way, too. Okay. And actually, we have a couple more questions, and we have about 10 more minutes. I wanted to just ask what social networking sites you find most helpful, because there are so many, and every day there are more and more, it seems. But which do you think are the most helpful for someone who's interested in doing business online?
Phyllis, can I take this briefly?
Sure.
Okay, I'm going to keep this very simple. And the answer to that question is, in two words, it depends. Okay, it depends what niche you're in. It depends who your audience is. If you're trying to reach out to baby boomers, you may not want to be on MySpace. But if you're looking at trying to get to young, funky rock stars, then if you're not on MySpace, then you're leaving a lot of money on the table. So there's no such thing as good websites and bad websites. There are suitable websites for your particular business. And that's why consultants like Phyllis, and sometimes, you know, I'm doing some consulting work on the side as well. I just don't generally have the time to be able to do that. But when I am consulting, the bottom line is finding the right solution for you. And this is one of the biggest disasters that happens to small business owners, is that they get all these great information products about Twitter, about LinkedIn, about Facebook. You just have to be on Twitter, things will happen for you. You just have to be on LinkedIn, things will happen for you. Well, that's true if you have a business that is suited to that particular type of social media site. So the very short answer is it depends. This is a very specific question, and it would probably be inappropriate for me to come along and say you have to be here, you have to be there. Phyllis, what's your experience on that?
That, I think, is an excellent answer, because I have to say I have a son who's in the film industry, and he uses things like Flickr, which have more to do with being able to show his videos. So, again, that was a perfect example of MySpace, like the younger generation, or someone marketing, like all of the clothing and music, et cetera, is all on MySpace, whereas I don't do MySpace because I don't feel like our generation is on there. So I think that's a very good answer, and if anyone needs to know what social networking site matches with their audience, I'm sure they could correspond with you and you could give them some guidance.
Absolutely. You know, I'm absolutely a resource to your audience. Your audience has inspired me a lot. I do look at your site, even though your market is certainly not my market whatsoever. But, Doctor, you are a person that has done a great deal for your particular market and for your audience, and you are an inspiration in that regard. So I'm certainly a resource. And, by the way, anyone can contact me. Just send an email to barry@successbug.com. That's barry@successbug.com. I'm a resource for any one of your members or anyone that wants to contact me.
And I'm going to spell that. It's SUCCESSBUG, B-U-G. Okay, and let's just try to cover the last two questions, because we told women that they would learn this on the call. How do you get people to leave comments on your blog? How can you use giveaways on your blog to increase those comments that will make your blog more attractive to search engines?
Okay, let me just say this briefly. For example, if you have a blog that is about books, you can have a review, either you do it or a guest reviewer, and then you say, everyone in the next 7 days who leaves a comment about this book, whether they think the content is interesting, et cetera, will be entered in a free random giveaway to earn a copy of the book. So that's just a simple way of doing it. And it's even better if you give them a question. So once for Mrs. Lieutenant, I think someone's question was very specific about what you remember about the Vietnam War. So then it becomes really interesting because people share their opinions, and someone wins a book at the end. And it's adaptable for all kinds of things if you put your creative hat on.
If I may add one 20-second tip?
Yeah, sure. That would be great. Sure.
Okay, very quick tip. And that is, people don't like to be the first person to leave a comment. If you can manufacture comments, I don't mean lying and writing them yourself, but get 5-10 friends, people to come to your site and ask them if they mind writing a comment. Once you get the first batch of comments, 3, 4, 5 comments, it's much easier. You've got social proof, And the average Joe will read the article. It says leave a comment. He sees other, or she sees in this case, that there are comments already there. They're more likely to leave a comment. It's a very important point.
Okay, that's a good one, and I hadn't heard that before. Very good. Okay, why and how you can link back to your blog or website when you leave comments on other people's blogs or add your profile to social media sites? Can you touch on that? It's kind of two things, but those were the last two things we promised to have answered on the call.
It's very simple. Even on sites where they have an automatic system where they ask your email, your website, and then that makes, if your name comes up and it's a hot link to your website, when you leave a comment, put your name, like just Phyllis or Barry, informal, and then choose which link you're using. I always use the HTTP because you never know how a site is linked, and I usually leave my Twitter name because it's the easiest way for someone to connect with me and without feeling that they have to have a whole conversation. So I'll leave a meaningful comment, not just, oh, this is a great blog post, and then, you know, sign Phyllis, and then put HTTP, da-da-da-da, Twitter.com, and my username, Zimbler Miller. And so that says to people, Phyllis is leaving this on purpose. That means she will connect on Twitter if I follow her.
And one final point, which is central to this discussion. I mentioned at the very beginning of our conversation that you really want to be at the top of Google for your keywords. And again, using the example I had before of a Denver lawyer, supposing your website is thedenverlawyer.com, and you were to go to websites that were related to your field of law, and you would write, you'd use a hot link of thedenverlawyer.com, HTTP / etc., your website, what happens is that Google will see a link coming from the site that you've written that comment on leading to your site. And we call that link juice because Google looks at that and looks, if these people are sending this juice to your site, it must mean that you are an authority. So if you do regular blog comments on people's sites on a regular basis, you don't have to go overboard about this, then what's going to happen is over time, you're going to have links coming in from all kinds of places. And it's like a person that gets a lot of gifts. It's an indication that person is wanted, there's something about him. That shows your site is an authority. So don't go overboard because it looks like you're trying to beat the search engine. If you do it in a natural way, and when you're on your social site, so you're talking to people, you're writing comments, and you're signing off with your website address, that would generate link juice that will get you a lot of Google juice, and therefore you're going to be driving traffic to your website.
That's right, because the more your URL, your website address, is placed around the internet, the more inbound links you have coming to you. So that's more people learning about you on other sites, and that really helps with Google rankings. Okay, I think we've answered everything that we said we would, and you know, this is really kind of just the beginning because there's just so much that has to do with launching a blog and, you know, increasing search engine traffic and commenting on your blog and growing your sites and growing your email list, etc. But this is just a start of a little beginning of the knowledge that these two hold for us. And I invite you to visit their sites and really browse around and read the articles and watch the videos and then correspond with them. And then, Barry, you have a program coming up. Do you want to talk about that?
Well, very briefly, and the truth is, if they go to successbug.com, successbug.com, there immediately you can sign up. You get a lot of material completely for free. And what we have upcoming are calls, discussions, question and answer sessions with the world-leading business authorities, blog experts, and marketing experts. And basically, this is a program of implementation. So people can go to that site, pick up great content, but really discover how they can implement that content into their particular small business. So basically, it's like having a mastermind with world-leading marketers, and it really is it's the first of its kind, and I'm extremely excited to have brought all these people on board. So very much looking forward to welcoming your audience to there. Again, they can pick up that free information at successbug.com.
Okay, I have to say that you all have gotten me jazzed about this whole search engine optimization and blogging platform again. I went through this months ago prior to launching the blog, and it's kind of flattened out a little bit, and now I'm kind of excited to get back in there and really do more blogging with regards to the search engine optimization piece. So thank you for that. I'm just letting us run a couple minutes over because we were a little late getting started. Is there anyone on the call who has a question for either Phyllis or Barry? If so, and you muted yourself, you'd have to push star 6 so we can hear you. Okay, I don't hear anyone speaking up. But Phyllis, I wanted to ask, do you have any program coming up or anything that you'd like to add?
I have a lot of information packages that are really helpful. I have a lot of free information, and then the information packages, which are very reasonably priced, and they're by a topic, including the one about what should you know about having an effective marketing-driven website. And that really is a very good information package that takes people through the steps that they should be thinking about before they either have a website built or build it for themselves or consider redoing their website to have it much more user-friendly for both people and search engines.
Okay, and also one thing that Phyllis mentioned is don't fret if you feel like you've gotten off to a wrong start. Things can be changed. Things can be redirected. And that's really important because people to get frustrated if they think they've gotten off on the wrong foot. And then, you know, once they get some help professionally, they can make the changes easily enough. So, okay, anything else you want to add before we sign off?
I just want to encourage everyone as a baby boomer myself to have an open mind. The book Mindset by Carol Dweck is an amazing book. If you find yourself, I mean, these things are frustrating, and then you have to say, it doesn't mean I'm stupid, it just means I'm new, and if I keep trying, I will get it or I will get help. And I just encourage everyone not to give up at the first time they hit an obstacle, but to keep going. It's really worth it.
Okay, and Phyllis, tell me the name of that book again.
The main book title is Mindset, M-I-N-D-S-E-T.
Okay, gotcha.
And Carol Dweck is C-A-R-O-L-D-W-E-C-K. It's on Amazon in paperback. Very important book.
Okay, great. Thank you. All right, Barry, anything you want to say before we sign off?
No, I think it's about it. Excited to spend this time with you, Dottie, and to be with your wonderful audience.
Okay, thank you so much. We appreciate your information and your knowledge and, you know, how generous you are to share that with us. And we will be in touch. And, again, the websites are successbug.com, and then Phyllis's is MillerMosaicPowerMarketing.com. All right, thank you all for being on the call, and I'll certainly be in touch. Have a great day.
Thank you. Goodbye.
Bye-bye.